The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for this particular netcast. Tell you what, we got some good things to talk about. First thing I want to do, though, is give you a little update, a little news about the radio program. Our radio program, the Word of Faith broadcast, is available on Word of Faith Radio. WFR.org, Word of Faith Radio. Has been for a long time. Basically, ever since we started on Word of Faith Radio, back when we first went on the air with the station. So, praise the Lord. But our times have changed for one of the programs. We have two programs. One is the Word of Faith broadcast. One is the Word of Faith netcast. The Word of Faith broadcast is still on at 11:30 Monday through Friday every week. Hallelujah. So you can listen to that. But our Sunday program, which comes on Sunday mornings on Word of Faith Radio, is the Word of Faith netcast. It's a 30-minute program, and it has been coming on right after Kenneth Copeland at 9:30. But we've moved the time on that program. I want to let you know about that. We're now on at 11:30 on Sundays, all right? And then later in the day on Sundays, let's see. Hallelujah. There we go, 6:30 p.m. on Sundays on Word of Faith Radio. Brother Harold puts me there, and I appreciate that. You know, he is a blessing. Hallelujah. Harold and Peggy Cagle are blessings to the body of Christ, and so I just encourage you to listen to Word of Faith Radio. Now, I want to start a very special teaching on this week's netcast, and praise the Lord, this one's unusual. I say that as we get into the teaching here. It's a bit unusual. It's talking about the fact that God doesn't change his mind. And I'm just going to let this teaching run through the program because this I took a little longer on this one, and I want to be able to get it into this week and possibly next week. Might have to go a third. I don't know, but we'll see. So let's go into that message, and then as the message closes, we'll just go straight to the closing of the program. I won't come back and do any more announcements or anything. So just join us for this special message that God doesn't change his mind. I will say this is going to be a bit unusual tonight, but it'll be good, I believe. Hallelujah. When the Lord tells you to do something, it's an assignment. So you got to do your assignment, all right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and get into the Word tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and receive from your Word. We thank you, Father, for all the literally thousands of people that hear us over internet television as it goes out around the world. Father, we know we have viewers and we have listeners that are in China and Europe and literally all over the world. And so we thank you for the opportunity that we have to minister your word. And Father, we just believe that the Holy Spirit has absolute free course here tonight. We believe that he is truly the teacher of the church. And so Father, we just turn this over to him to speak through us here tonight. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's, as I said, going to be a little different. Maybe something you've never quite heard or seen before, but that's okay. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and there's a lot of good things here in James chapter 5. And I could teach a week right on just this one chapter, but I want to key in on a couple of things here. Verse 14. Now remember here, as this is being written, James is writing to Christians. He's not writing to the world. He's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to Christians. He says, is there any sick among you Christians? The implication to me is there really ought not be any sick among you Christians. You know, after all, Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. By his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah, we ought to be healed. But he still says, see, think about James. Here's the thing you need to understand about James. James is a pastor. He's also the Lord's half-brother. In other words, he and Jesus had the same mother. Okay? So he grew up in that household. He saw Jesus live his life day in and day out. He understood and knew
about the love of God and about ministry and about the things that Jesus was called to do. So he has a heart of compassion. And this is what I want us to look at here tonight. Is there any sick among you? There's compassion there. You really ought not be sick, but praise the Lord. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now the word save there is the Greek word sozo, save, deliver, heal, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. So it covers every area. And healing is one of them. He'll heal the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now here's the verse I really wanted to get to. Couldn't leave the other one unsaid. But we're getting to verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right? But now notice that. Confess your faults one to another. There is a church, large church, that believes in confession of sin to the priest. Okay? Now we know that our confession of sin is to the Lord. I like what Brother Copeland has always said. Don't run from God when you sin, run to him. And I've got a teaching I'm going to have to do here before too long on repentance. Repentance, I heard Brother Keith Moore say this recently and it just struck my thinking. Repentance is a gift. It is a gift. Repentance is something that people look at and go, oh, that's hard, that's harsh, that I have to repent, that I have to indicate that I've changed the direction of my life. You know, why don't you just leave me alone, let me do my thing? No, we need to repent. We need to confess our faults. Now, the thing is, we're not to confess sin to one another to be cleansed of sin. We do that to the Lord. That's unscriptural, to confess our sin to one another. But we do confess our faults to one another. So I want to confess some faults to you. That's why it's going to be a little unusual. Because I've been in the ministry now a long time. I was ordained in 1977. So I've been around a little while. And I've seen some things. And the Lord has directed me to do a few things, some of which I have not done. That's a fault. Now actually, you could argue it's a sin, but praise the Lord, he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, because I repent. Okay? But it is a fault, and it's something that I think we ought to do. See, a lot of people say, and you know, believe me, pastor was teaching recently about, you know, folks that say, well, you just have a righteousness, a sin consciousness. You can't go around saying that you've sinned because, you know, that gives you a sin consciousness. No, when you sin, you've sinned. Okay? If you have a fault, you have a fault. What you do with it is the difference. I can have a righteousness consciousness because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Absolutely. I know wherein my righteousness comes. And I can understand that and I can know that and I can rejoice about that. But that doesn't mean I don't repent. It doesn't mean I don't confess my faults. So I'm going to do that tonight. And don't get all freaked out. I'm not going to, you know, it's not like I've had any affairs or anything. I haven't. Never would. But praise the Lord, I have something in ministry that I need to have really been needing to deal with for quite a while. And I will say this. This came out of the ICFM convention that I went to in this past April. So I've been meditating on this since April. I'm like Brother Hagin. I don't like to do anything quick. You know, if the Lord deals with you about something, pray about it. Meditate on it. Let it kind of gel up in you what you need to do. And so, this is part of what I need to do. So let's look at a couple more scriptures. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. This is one we've heard quite a bit. And I will say this. This is a very instructive set of information for young ministers. If you know any young ministers that are in there, particularly in their 20s, okay? This is something they need to know. All right? Verse 29 of of Romans chapter 11. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, that's good old King James. And I like the King James. But I looked at this in a lot of other translations, and another translation that I really like, as you know, because I've mentioned it before, is God's Word translation. That's in Esword. And I really like it. It says that basically, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have it right in front of me. All I got is my King James here, my good old Brother Hagin Rhema Bible here. But the gifts and calling of God are without repentance is really talking about the fact gift is the Greek word charisma, which is spiritual gift or supernatural gift. You could put it that way. And the calling here is literally the word calling, meaning what God calls you to do. So if God calls you to do something, He's not going to change His mind. That's what one of the things that God's Word Edition says, is He just doesn't change His mind about it. So God called me to do something many years ago, and He hadn't changed His mind about it. Okay? But I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I flat refused. Now, what's that called? Rebellion. Rebellion will not serve you well. Okay? But it's something that the Lord asked me to do. Well, didn't ask me, told me to do. I'm trying to sugarcoat it a little bit, but I can't. I've got to put it out there the way it's supposed to be. He told me to do, and I just said no. Now, telling the Lord no is not a good idea. It just didn't. But that's what I did. So I want to give you just a little bit of background on this. I feel funny doing this, but I saw myself doing this. I got to be obedient. Hi there. My name's Bill Bailey. I know I've been at Faith and Victory Church now for, probably 27 years, since 1988. So feels funny introducing myself, but I want you to look at me. This is what I saw in the Spirit when I said that. I want you to look at me like you've never met me before in your life. Okay? Hi there. I'm Bill Bailey. I was born November 30th, 1955. Now, that puts me squarely in the middle of the last century. Hallelujah. And those of you that are writing down and figuring out on a piece of paper, know that that means that November 30th of this year, I'll be 60. Glory to God. That'll make you think right there. But anyway, I'm 60 and spry, you know what I mean? Sharp of mind and eye, praise the Lord. But anyway, I was born November 30th, 1955. I was born again April the 6th, 1969. Now, this is a funny story, and I'm going to just tell you real quick, short, funny story. I came up charismatic after I got, born again and down the road a little bit into the 70s. And we had a song that we liked to sing it all the time. And basically the song was, it was on whatever day somebody touched me. And you're supposed to say what day it was. Whether it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And so they'd sing that song. And if you didn't know the day, you had to say, your turn to sing was, it was on, I don't know what day it was, but somebody touched me. Okay? And this was just something. And so I got kind of frustrated saying, I don't know what day it was. I remember it, that it happened, but I didn't know the day. And so I sought the Lord. I said, Lord, show me where I got born again. It's funny what you do when you're young and dumb, So I was a young Christian. I said, Lord, I want to know when I was born again. And He showed me in my spirit. I did not have an open vision. I'm going to define my terms here. An open vision means I'm looking out of my regular physical eyes and I see into the spirit realm. That was not the case. But in my spirit, in my heart, I saw myself in my mom and dad's bedroom at the lake where we lived, and I heard myself talking to my dad. And the occasion was, this was on April the 6th, 1969. I was probably what? Around 16 years old, thereabouts. And I know you math people, you can tell me right off, but math and I have a passing acquaintance. math to me is like a mystical incantation that occasionally comes out the same way twice, but rarely. Okay, that's me and math. So I, you know, I couldn't put my finger on when it was, and I didn't know the date, and but I saw in my spirit, the Lord showed it to me. There I was at that young age. I go to my parents' bedroom. The way things worked, I lived upstairs. They lived downstairs and had their own bedroom off the kitchen area there. And our custom was, I would get ready upstairs, get dressed, put on my suit and tie, you know, good Baptist. And I would come downstairs and I would sit in the living room for a while. But then his mom and dad got dressed and got really pretty close to ready, fully dressed, ready to go, getting their Bible, I would usually go into the bedroom and just talk to them. So this was one of those occasions. I went into the bedroom, I was talking, and I said, "Hey, Dad, this morning I'm going to go shake the preacher's hand." Well, Dad, being wise, said, "What does that mean?" "Well, you know, I'm going to shake the preacher's hand. I'd seen this my whole life." And so he said, "But what does it mean you're going to shake the preacher's hand?" "Well, it means that I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and I believe God raised him from the dead." Bam! I was born again. Happened right then, right there in his bedroom. He said, "Okay, you can go shake the preacher's hand now." Wise man. So that morning, Sunday morning, I went down. You know, a preacher preached something. I don't even know what he preached. Really wasn't paying attention, to tell you the truth. But he preached something. And as soon as it was over with, man, I got up like a shot. I walked down, shook his hand. Well, you know, according to Baptist, you're born again at that point. Now, that's not entirely true. They also turn you around, make you face the congregation, and say, "Who would like to vote brother in to the church?" And I always wondered, what if the vote went the other way? You know, but that's what I was used to as a Southern Baptist. You know, we'd like to vote, brother. "Yes, I believe we should vote him." "But yes, second." You know, people raised hands. It was carried. Hallelujah. I'd made it. Now, I still had to go through class. And I had to get all my books in order. And I had to get a new Bible. And there's a lot of other things to do. But, you know, I was official. I was Southern Baptist. Hallelujah. That was April 6, 1969. Now, September 30th, 1973... I want you to notice the date here. September 30th, 1973 is prior to November the 10th of 1973. I got that figured out. But September the 30th, 1973, they nominated me and ordained me a deacon. I hadn't even received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, that's pretty much unscriptural, but this was a Baptist church. All right, so get cut them some slack. So anyway, so I was ordained a deacon. I was the youngest deacon at that time ordained into that church. This was First Baptist Church in Denton, North Carolina. I lived in Denton. Don't anymore. Hallelujah. But anyway, baptism of the Holy Ghost, November the 10th, 1973. Now, interestingly, I won't tell the whole story because it'd take a while. But basically, the short version is that a friend of mine had a friend who was coming to visit him at NC State University. I had gone to visit this other friend, the first one, Matt, and I was at his apartment in Raleigh, and this other friend of Matt's was going to come down and was going to take us to a meeting. He said, "Hey, you want to go to a meeting?" Well, hey, man, I'm fired up, turned on Christian, you know, I'm ready to go. I said, "A Christian meeting?" "Yeah." "Oh, praise the Lord, what is it?" "The Full Gospel Businessmen's International Convention in Raleigh." Okay. Had no idea what that was. So I went to that meeting, and there were thousands of people in this meeting. It was huge. I'd never been to a meeting that big. And so I go in, and I sit down, and, you know, actually, when I first walked in, there wasn't any place to sit. And so, there was this person sitting there that said, "Would you like my seat?" And they were older than I was. And I said, "Oh, no, that's fine." So I ended up sitting on the floor. I could do that back then because I was too young. But anyway, I sat on the floor, and George Otis spoke. Now, George Otis, if you don't know, was a NASA engineer that worked on the moonshot program, Apollo program. And he worked down in Houston at that time, and then had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was going around giving his testimony, which is what full gospel business men do. Just go around and give their testimony. So he didn't just give his testimony. He took his Bible and he opened it up and just went through the entirety of the Scripture, as far as I could tell as a Southern Baptist, about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I kept looking at my Bible and I thought, you know, I've read my Bible through several times. Those Scriptures were not there. Particularly this tongue stuff. Because our church didn't teach against tongues. We were literally... I'm going to show you a Scripture. Acts chapter... I believe it's... I did not plan to do this. But Acts chapter... is it 19, really? It's the Scripture. Now, see, I'm doing what Pastor does. Pastor said, where's that Scripture I'm looking for? And we don't know what it is. And we're out there back there going, a clue, a hint. Give me something. It's about the did not know whether there be a Holy Ghost. It's in Acts. I believe it may be 19. It's even 19.
2.
All right. Hallelujah. Still got it. Glory to God. Acts 19. Let's look at that. And it came to pass when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, Ephesus was in the south. Just want to let you know. And he found certain disciples. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, there's where I was talking, you know, with this guy, George Otis, was preaching. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we've not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, well, wait a minute. Where were you baptized in? They said, unto John's baptism. So they were Baptists, and they were in the south. They were Southern Baptists, which is what I was. And I was in the same boat. I had not heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Literally. It was God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We don't know anything about Him. He's mysterious. But that's okay. He's part of the Godhead. That's all I knew. So anyway, I go to this meeting. He shows us all these Scriptures, of which this was one of them. And I thought, man, I'm just like these guys. I don't even know there is a Holy Ghost. And then he gets to the point of Acts chapter 2 where he talks about they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. I went, what is other tongues? I did not know what that was. So he got through preaching, and he said, well, there's too many people here. And, you know, we had people, like I said, sitting in the floor and all that. He said, nobody can really get clear to come down front. So just where you're at, stand up. Well, back then, even on the floor, I could stand up like, bing. I was pretty fit back then. Anyway, so I stood up, and I'm standing there going, well, I want to receive this. I don't know what it is, but it's Bible. I saw it in the Bible. And one thing about Baptists, they believe the Bible. They may not know what it says, but they believe the Bible. So since I'd seen in the Bible, all of my teaching was, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, actually, God said it, that settles it. I believe it. It's really the truth. But our bumper stickers were the other way around. So anyway, there I was, standing up. He said, now pray this prayer. I thought, all right. So I prayed the prayer. Soon as I got through praying that prayer, something hit me. From the top of my head, it shot all the way down to the soles of my feet. And if I'd have had enough Holy Ghost sense, I'd have fallen. But I was standing there rocking like this, trying to keep from falling. And I thought, oh no, what have I gotten myself involved in? Is this one of them weird cults? And I thought, what am I supposed to do? And he said, now just open your mouth and begin to praise the Lord in tongues. And I went, show them what I'm talking about. I just get in my, started speaking in tongues. I thought, oh no. I've gone off the deep end. So I literally thought I had lost it. And I knew he'd gone over all these Scriptures, but I immediately forgot all the Scriptures. And so I turned to Matt's friend, who was enjoying all this immensely, because he knew he was going to get me and Matt. You know, Matt was Quaker, I was Baptist. He was like, I'm going to get him. So Matt's sitting there, he's looking at this whole thing, just blinking his eyes, like, what in the world is all this about? So I turned to this other guy and I said, Can you get me any scriptures? He said, here you go. Gave me a sheet of paper with all these scriptures on them. Now, it was mimeographed. That shows you how old it was. But it was mimeographed, blue on white. And I took it and I put it in my Bible. I'm going to study this out. And I immediately went back to my church. Now, well, I'm shortening the story too much. Matt didn't receive that night. We went home to his apartment. And I said, what do you think? Oh, I don't know. I said, do you want what I got? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, let's pray. So, man, I am so charged. It was like electricity shooting through my veins. You know, I was like, ugh. So there wasn't any sleeping that night anyway. So I'm sitting on one bunk, he's sitting on the other bunk, and I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. And he's looking at me like, what in the world? He said, what is that? I said, I don't know. He said, am I supposed to do it? I don't know. Should I do it? I don't know. I said, but let's just pray. Okay. I said, you want it, right? Yeah. You wasn't sure? Yeah. I said, all right, so I'm laying hands on him, and I'm praying. I had no idea what I was doing. I was sitting there, it was stupid. I'm just, and praying in the Holy Ghost. He's like, okay. So I said, did you get anything? We were a mess, I'm telling you. But somehow or another, I feel like Brother Hagin, some way, somehow, by hook or crook, he got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. Hallelujah. Oh, my. So we started an adventure, he and I. And I took those scriptures and I read them and I studied them. Now, here's what you got to know about me at the time. Like I said, I was the youngest deacon in the church. I was highly respected. College student, you know. And pastor at that time let me preach on Sunday nights. Didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I preached, you know. And I usually preached on Second Coming, because that's all I really wanted to study anyway. So I would preach on that, and everybody would go, okay, whatever. And, you know, we're talking the 70s. So I go back to Denton, and I told my pastor, Pastor, can I preach Sunday night? Sure, Brother Bill. So I got my Bible, and I got my sheet of mimeographed notes, and I preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's sitting back there. Now, you got Herbert Baker. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But Herbert Baker was this skinny, scrawny guy. He was a missionary to Brazil. Spoke fluent Portuguese. White hair. Little skinny guy. He's sitting on the back row going, his eyes got as big as saucers. He heard me talk about speaking in other tongues. He's sitting there going, he was freaked out. So I said, who'd like to receive this tonight? And three ladies got up.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.